Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
And this is a true CPPR process in that we've got all of our partners here at the table making the presentation. Our presentation will discuss the challenges, considerations, and or lessons learned in our partnership faced in reaching out to two African-American churches to implement a evidence-based intervention around HIV and AIDS prevention curriculum. The title of the curriculum is Focus on Youth with Impact. We will discuss our CBPR partnership, provide some background for the study, highlight strategies used in that we laid out in the groundwork to successfully implement the intervention in a faith-based setting. Okay. Nothing to disclose here. Okay, before we get started, we'd like to acknowledge our team, and many of who presenting will be presenting today. But in particular, we would like to acknowledge Lucille Webb, who is a longtime president of Smith and Novak Family and has played a role as a pioneer in promoting CBPR and community-based public health. Also, we appreciate the opportunity to speak at this session, which is sponsored by the Community-Based Health Caucus. So, who are we? Our partnership. First, we have Strengthening the Black Family, who has a long history of partnering with the University of North Carolina, as well as other university investigators, and mentoring Kellogg Health Scholars. This project was initiated by Strengthening the Black Family. I will repeat, this project was implemented or initiated by the community. Strengthening the Black Family went to the university, and we approached partners who had experience in youth-based interventions as well as CBPR at the UNC Center for Health Promotion and Disease Prevention to address the challenges of the C word. Strengthening the Black Family has had a history of working with youth around HIV and AIDS curriculum. However, in doing so, we had reached over 500 youth in the program over our 20-year experience. Over our 20-year experience, although we faced the barriers of getting into churches, reaching individuals through the churches. So we did a great job in terms of getting into the community, but the churches was an obstacle or a barrier that we faced. We implemented a focus group in 2009, and at that time, we interviewed worked with parents and youth in the community, and they underscored the role that the faith community could play in this prevention effort. Resulting from this was a key recommendation that we identify pastors who would open their church and share the important HIV prevention program with their congregation. A recent study indicated that African Americans' faith leaders are willing to participate in some HIV prevention activities. However, they were reluctant to discuss certain topics. As we discovered in the Teams Against AIDS project, efforts to offer HIV prevention within the church faced considerable challenges, such as the C word, comprehensive sex education, condom demonstration, and not in our house, doing it in the church setting.
So, despite or perhaps because of these challenges, Strengthening the Black Family was really well poised to respond to a call for funding from UNC's Carolina Comprehensive NIMHD Center, or Project Export. The call was for pilot studies to address health disparities, and the grant was looking to fund new investigators, encourage CBPR approaches, and prioritize studies that linked with Project Export infrastructure, such as the faith-based research network it had been developing since 2002. So the Carolina Church Network, through Project Export, is a research network of African-American churches who are interested in working together as partners to identify and eliminate health disparities with each other, and to identify needs, working with researchers to address these community needs through research, and making sure that the research is really responsive to the community needs. Strengthening the Black Family had a relationship with two of the churches in this network, and surmised that these pastors might be ready to engage their conversations, their congregations in HIV prevention.
So just to give a little background, and this was important for us when we were discussing, having discussions on the Community Advisory Board as well as with the partner churches, just about what the situation is with HIV/AIDS among African American youth. So nationally, there are large disparities, with African American youth representing 75% of HIV/AIDS diagnoses among 13 and 19 year olds, despite only representing 17% of this population. And then specific to Central North Carolina, a recent study indicated that nearly 58% of African American adolescents have had sexual intercourse, and nearly 10% of those before age of 13. And that was important because the curriculum that we'll be describing focused on the age range from 12 to 15. Also, over 22% had had sex with four or more people during their lifetime, so we knew that sexual behavior was something that was happening among these youth in the community. While there are high rates of sexual behavior, nearly 58% were using condoms, at least in the last 3 months, according to the survey. However, that does leave a substantial percentage that were not. So we were concerned about this, and particularly about this last point, that there was less than 3% felt comfortable talking with teachers or other adults about STDs, HIV/AIDS, and pregnancy prevention. So there seemed to be a real gap in communication. So as was already talked about, African-American faith-based settings, we saw that as an opportunity. However, there were some challenges to address. So several researchers have looked at this and have found that African-American faith-based organizations are credible and respected in the community. So the community really goes to these organizations or relies on them for information, for support. They already offer numerous youth development programs, so that's already a part of these organizations. And they support protective factors for youth risk behavior, like religiosity. However, some of the limitations that we needed to address were the fact that there is some religious stigma around certain HIV-related risk behaviors, and particularly this discomfort with discussing sexual topics within the church. So, you know, as Melvin mentioned, Strength of the Black Family had identified a curriculum that they felt would be relevant to this setting, and this was part of what we had a lot of discussion with our Community Advisory Board about, really the appropriateness of the curriculum. But why we thought this would be appropriate really was that this curriculum focuses on both abstinence and comprehensive sex education. So it does provide information about condoms and about contraception, but there's always this emphasis on abstinence being like the way to stay 100% safe. So that was something that was really important when we were discussing this with the church partners. Also, values clarification is a big component of this curriculum, so really discussing with youth what their values are and how that might relate to their decision making and some of the behaviors they engage in, as well as communication and how to communicate with peers, but also with adults, and also working with adults, with their parents, on how to communicate with their teens. This curriculum also focuses on existing community-based friendship groups, so we really felt like this would be a strong connection with some of the youth groups that already existed in the church. And again, it focused on parents and youth, so there was a strong component really trying to engage parents.
So first step for us was to pull together a community advisory board that would help us to establish the appropriateness of the curriculum for the community and faith settings, and also to navigate entry and just troubleshoot any challenges and develop the post-intervention focus group guide. And we were very intentional about getting diverse representation on this advisory board, or CAB. So we had young people, we had the retired, we had people employed, we had faith leaders, quite a bit of diversity, and diversity is good. But at that first meeting, I was just sitting there holding my breath, kind of like waiting for this enormous eruption to happen. And because in general, the CAB supported the prevention for a community setting, but there was disagreement about the type of curriculum for the church setting. So on one hand, we had faith leaders and one youth who strongly felt that the abstinence policy was appropriate for the church setting, and they were very united in what they believed, and it was that C word. It was the condom demonstration, discussion, diagram. Didn't want any part of that. But on the cab, each voice was valid, and as a team, we respected their positions, and we encouraged their continued engagement in the process. And then on the other hand, we had adults and the majority of the youth and some academics who strongly felt that a comprehensive HIV prevention curriculum was appropriate for the church setting. And so, of course, we were able to exhale. And it was that determined dialogue, that diversity of opinion, you know, that different perspectives and different comfort levels that provided, I mean, rich and really crucial input that helped our team to navigate the process of gaining approval from the faith leaders and to really look ahead and think about what questions may come up so that we can be sure that we will complement and not compromise the church's position on abstinence. Readiness happened with both churches. There were some common factors there, but one thing that was really key early on was this kind of unspoken, significant communication. It was for a movement for change. It was as if both of those churches were crying out, you know, it's time out for black folks leading with the negative statistics. Let us be a part of our own positive change within ourselves, in our families, our churches, and our communities. Open the door. Quite simply, if you want to get something done or even just heard in an African-American church, go to the pastor first. There is a crucial chain of command within the black church. So respect the pastor's leadership and understand that hierarchy within each church. It can be different. So garnering that pastor approval, it was our goal, and we reached it as a team through our participation, you know, that active participation, that was our springboard. And we had the cultural sensitivity, patience, more patience, and just transparency. You know, you had to be seen. This is who we are and what we propose. And then just that persistence to really push through. So we maintained regular communication, and we got an understanding of the church's priorities and their culture, really bonded with those gatekeepers, and formalized those verbal agreements with the memorandum agreement with black folks, you know, put it in writing, and then you'll be doing well with that. So results, sure, we had results, active participation, and it really enhanced the credibility of the study and us as a team. All of the faith leaders became strong supporters of the study. They were at the graduation ceremonies. Both of them wrote letters of support for a follow-up study. And then what I call the fruit in the oatmeal, that came when one of those leaders said to us, you did exactly what you said you would do. And people remained engaged. And we have two youth members from our advisory board in the audience today.
Great, this is perfect. We're hitting the time. So where are we today? We did, as Linda just said, we got a follow-up funding to expand the intervention into a new church. And also, really importantly, it was a pilot grant for you know, a year's time, and of course with CBPR it takes a long time to get things going. So we weren't able in our initial study to assess long term. We were just able to assess, you know, immediate you know, results and outcomes. So we are looking long-term with this new grant. We're also really, we've built a relationship with the churches right now, but now we're building a partnership. And so that's this phase that we're really kind of taking it to, where we're going to involve the pastors and faith leaders and congregations in helping us move to the next phase. And we're responding to expressed needs. The youth are here, if any of you came by their poster yesterday, and they were talking about a photo voice project that came out of our community advisory board focus groups that we did at the very start of this project. And the youth said, great, you know, focusing on risk behavior is good, and individual behavior, but there's so much around us in the social and social and environmental context that we need to understand, we need to look at if we're really going to prevent HIV risk behavior. And so that was an outgrowth, and now they really really want to build their skills in policy and advocacy, so that's an outgrowth, too, of this project. And also, we were amazed by how hungry parents are for this opportunity to build communication skills with their children. So, in fact, we were going to do one group of 10 girls at one church and one group of 10 boys at the other church for this intervention, and the parents said, no, we want our boys and our girls at both churches. So we had to completely revise our plan and expand our
budget and
expand to do boys and 20 youth and 20 parents at both churches. And finally, we are going to bring the Photo Voice project and the results back to the community forums. We're writing manuscripts and we're doing presentations. And next year, we'll talk about outcomes if we're lucky enough to come back to APHA. Thank you very much for our team.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, wait, can you say? And I just wanted to say, too, acknowledge people who are in this room, community advisory board, faith leaders, mentors from the university and from Strengthening Black Family. So thank you very much.